Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Shabbat HaGadol. This week, Rabbi David Levenkreuz discusses Shabbat HaGadol. There is a handout for this podcast that you are welcome to download and use to follow along with Rabbi Levenkreuz. The handout is available from our Elmad digital learning site. That's ELMAD. .pardes.org.il. Rabbi David Levenkreuz is a member of the Pardes faculty and also serves as the Director of Special Programs for Pardes. And now, Rabbi David Levenkreuz.
Shabbat Shalom and an early Chag Sameach to us all. Thank you, Larry. This Shabbat is Shabbat HaGadol, the Great Shabbat, and it's on this Shabbat that it is traditional for rabbis to give a long drasha, usually in the afternoon, in which they speak about the issues to do with the day. So what I'm going to do for this podcast is imagine that I've been asked to give a Shabbat HaGadol drasha. What would I say if I had the chance to do such a presentation? And I think what I would do is I would focus on the four sons who are favorites of mine, the wise son, the wicked son, the simple son, and the son who does not know how to ask. I would focus on the four sons, which is my favorite part of the Pesach Seder, and on the four men who entered the Pardes, which is one of my favorite stories in the Babylonian Talmud. In Chagiga 14b, we read, Tanu Rabbanan, our rabbis taught, Arba nichnesu bepardes, four entered the Pardes. We're not sure what this Pardes is. It seems to be the literal meaning of the word is orchard. Pardes is an acronym for Pshat, Remez, Drash, and Sod, the four different ways that the Torah is interpreted. But this Pardes seems to be some type of a place of mystical learning, some place where they went to get the secrets of the universe. The Eluhen, and these are the names of the rabbis, Ben Izai, Uben Zoma, Acher v'Rabbi Akiva, Ben Azai, Ben Zoma, Acher, the other, and we will learn in a while why he was called the other, v'Rabbi Akiva. What happened to these four? Ben Azai hetzitz umet. Ben Azai took a look at what was going on and he died. Ben Zoma hetzitz v'nifga. Ben Zoma took a look and literally was hurt. But the way the rabbis understood it is that he went mad. He became mentally unbalanced. Acher kitzetz benetiot. Acher mutilated the shoots. He cut some of them down at the shoots down. And again, we'll learn in a little bit what that means. And only Rabbi Akiva yatzah b'shalom. Rabbi Akiva departed in peace. What I'd like to do today is look at these four rabbis, look at why they reacted and behaved the way that they are. And we have to say that this is not a very good success rate, 25% of people going in and coming out, and only four people going in and only one of them coming out all right. A 25% success rate is not that great. What I want to do is I want to look at the four, look a little bit about their lives and understand why it is that they behave that way, then ask in what way there is a parallelism between these and the four sons, and then I want to show how what the Haggadah contains within it is pedagogical messages which can teach us how to create a world in which four can go in, four very different characters are able to go into a pardes and all four come out whole. So that is the tall order that I'm setting for myself today. So, let's look at Ben Azai, who cast a look and died. In Breishit 9, two mitzvot are written one after each other. The one is about if you spill human blood, Shvoch dam ha-dam ba-adam damo yishapech. If a person spills human blood, their own blood will be spilled by God, ki b'tzelem Elohim asa et ha'adam, because God is made in, because people are made in God's image. And then it goes on to say, v'atem pru v'u You shall then be fruitful and multiple. Shirtzu ba'aretz v'rabuba. You should spread the world and become populous on it. And because we have these two mitzvot next to each other, of spilling human blood and being fruitful and multiply, the rabbis understood that a man who did not engage in priya or rivia, in being in propagation of the species, is like one who had spilled blood. And Ben Azai himself says it. Ben Azai Omer, if you look at it in Yevamot 63b, Ben Azai Omer, ke'ilu shofech damim umema'et hadamut. It says, if he has spilled blood and diminished the image. Now, if Ben Azai was not married and did not have children, Amrulo le Ben Azai, they said to him, Yeshna Adoresh v'yeshna amekayem, na'emekayem. There are some who preach well and some who perform well. Na'emekayem ve'en na'en doresh. There are people who do very nicely but don't preach so well. Va'ata na'e doresh ve'en na'e mekayem. He says, you do not preach, you preach beautifully but do not perform well. And Ben Azai says, Uma'ese, what can I do? Nafshi chashka b'torah. My heart, chashka, thirsts for Torah, cleaves to Torah. Chukka is like passion. There's definitely something sexual or erotic going on over here. My passion is for the Torah, not for women and not for having children. Efshar le'olam sheyitkayem al yedei acherim. The world will exist because of others. It's almost as if Ben Azai is a monk of some kind who's saying, I need to live my whole life only learning Torah. This is what I want to do. I need to be somebody who is purely in the world of learning. What happened to Ben Azai is he came back to the world, but he didn't want to be part of the world. He wanted to live in the garden forever. He wanted to live in the world of intellectualism for ever. He was able to come back. He was able to understand the world and its terms. He maybe even realized that he didn't do the right thing, but he said, what can I do? This is where my heart is. And therefore, he cast a look and died. He was taken from the world. This could be metaphoric that he died because he didn't have descendants who came after him. But it can also be that in some way he was taken from this world because he didn't really want to be part of this world as it is, even though he was capable of doing it. With Ben Zoma, I think something similar but not exactly the same happened. Well, there are many, many contradictions in the Torah and in the Tanakh. Many, many. For example, in Bereshit 1:7, it says, V'yas Elohim et harakia. It says God made the rakia, which is like the sky, like the covering of the world. Whereas in Tehillim 33:6, it says, B'dvar Adonai shamayim na'asu u'beruach piv kol tzva'am. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. By the breath of their mouth, all the hosts. What is going on over here? In one pasuk, it says God made the world, and in another one, it said he spoke and the world was made. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is not a problem from a traditional Jewish exegetical viewpoint. This is a typical case where you can easily say God made the rakia. I'm just making this up. God made the rakia. B'dvar Adonai shamayim nasu. What is the difference in rakia, which is one word, and shamayim, which is another word? Oh, these are two different things. Or you can say, no, they're exactly the same. And when God made, how does God make? God makes because God makes things by saying words, because in Judaism, words are things. This is such an easy issue to solve. And yet Ben Zoma did not go onto the direction. If you look over the page at Bereshit Rabbah 4:2, it says this caused Ben Zoma to shake the world of Jewish learning. How could it be he's not able to accept that there could be some contradiction in the Torah? Ben Zoma unlike, is also not part of this world, but unlike Ben Isaiah, who's capable of being part of the world, I think this is an example of a person who cannot even return to the world. He becomes enraptured and captured by the world of the Kabbalah and mysticism. He wants everything to be absolutely understandable. He wants absolute purity, and absolute clarity when it comes to understanding the Torah. In many, many ways, and we have this model in our world very, very much, he's the person who becomes very frum or very into mysticism and disappears from our world. He enters a world which has its own rules, its own internal way of looking at things, and no longer is part of our world. So these are the two examples. Ben Azai, who wants to live completely in the world of learning and who dies. Ben Zoma, who is incapable of leaving his philosophical reverie, who is incapable of dealing with nuance, wants everything to be absolute, and he becomes mentally imbalanced. And then we have Acher. Acher means the other. His real name was Elisha ben Abuya. And there are many, many stories about how he became a heretic. He was a great rabbi, a great student, but he is the one who is the famous heretic in the Talmud, in Dvarim 22:6-7, as well as other places. It says that if you see a bird's nest and you want to take the chicks, don't take the mother bird together with the young. Let the mother go and take only the young. Why? Leman yetiv lecha v'hirachtem yamim. In order that it may go well with you and that you may have a long life. It's one of the few, not the only, but one of the few mitzvot in the Torah in which we are told we have a long life. In Rut Rabbah, which is a collection of Midrashim, 6:4, we asked, what happened? How did this ma'aseh, this act, this rebellion happen? And it said that one day Rabbi Elisha ben Abuya was in Ginnesar, and he saw a man go on Shabbat, which is breaking Shabbat, and go and take the baby, the chicks, take the mother away from her chicks, and he is fine. At the end of Shabbat, which is the right time to do this, he sees somebody who took the chicks after having sent away the mother bird, and as he comes down, a snake bites him, and he says, it is written, let the mother go and take only the young, in order that you may fare well and have a long life. Where is the good for this man, and where is his length of days? This is one of the many, many examples we have in our world, in those worlds, in all worlds, of people who keep the Torah and who do the right thing and yet suffer. Other people break the Torah and seem to do very, very well. The question of why bad things happen to good people of theodicy, it's one of the hardest questions, and Elisha Buya was probably not the first and was certainly not the last person in the world to be bothered by issues like this. Nevertheless, he cannot handle it. He cannot handle the gap between the world of reality and the world of texts. Neither can the other two. All three of these cannot handle the tension between the world of texts and the world of reality. And what they do is the other two leave in some way. What Elisha ben Abuya does is he rejects the Torah. They reject the world. He rejects the Torah. He says, I don't believe in the Torah. And he gets interested in Greek culture, etc., etc., etc. But his solution is to leave the Torah. Only one person came out in peace, and that is Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva famously is asked, What is the greatest principle of the Torah? Ve'ahavta recha kamocha, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Rabbi Kiva omer ze klal gadol b'Torah. This is the greatest principle of the Torah. Rabbi Akiva is able to embrace the world, unlike the other three, because when he looks in the texts, when he looks in his holy texts, he sees that part of the holy texts say is to love the world, not to live in some magical theoretical world of your own. But Rabbi Akiva is able to integrate. He's able to recognize that love of your fellow person is part of love of God. And yet, I do have my doubts all the same. What a tremendous survivor guilt Rabbi Akiva must have had to have gone in and to see his three friends go off in all these different directions. And we know that when the Omer comes around, we mourn because the students of Rabbi Akiva did not treat each other with respect. How could it be that this great man, Rabbi Akiva, who loved Am Yisrael and loved the world so much, that he could not teach this to his students? It's interesting, and I don't know how much to read into this, but in Vayikra, it says, "Ve'ahavta recha kamocha," you shall love your neighbor as yourself, and it leaves out the Ani Hashem, I am God. Now this can mean nothing, because very, very often the psukim are just quoted, just part of them, and sometimes not even the right part of them are quoted. But maybe if we want to make a drush on this, we can say that Rabbi Akiva's survivor guilt was so strong that he made the people the absolute center of his life, and maybe even forgot about God a little bit in his desire to return to the world and to be human-centered and to be and to be part of this world. Somewhere along the line, he lost a little bit as well. So even he did not come out completely in peace, according to this reading. So we have four different characters. Ben Azai, who wants to live totally in the world of learning. Ben Zoma, who is unable to deal with nuance or with contradiction, and therefore rejects the world. Elisha ben Abuya, who also has difficulty dealing with nuance and therefore chooses to reject the Torah. And Rabbi Akiva, who creates a synthesis and is able to live in this world. I would like to claim that Rabbi Akiva is the Chacham, the wise son, who is able to be part of this world, who is able to discern that Acher is the Rasha. Rasha can also mean rebellious, that Acher is the Rasha. Tam, which is normally translated as simple son, but tam can also mean what they call in Yiddish verbrennt, fired up. Yaakov ish tam yoshev o'alot. Jacob was a tam man who sat in his tent. A tam can be somebody who is a learner, who is somebody who is totally single-minded, and I see him as Ben Azai, the one who was totally burnt up with Torah. And finally, the Eino Yodea Lishol, I see not as somebody who is silly, not as somebody who's not bright, who's not able to ask, but somebody who can't deal with nuance. Somebody who is incapable of dealing with, who can't ask. And that is what Ben Zoma was. He couldn't ask. He was unable to ask good questions and get answers and be satisfied with it. And if we look at the reaction to the four sons in the Haggadah, I think we see the right way to deal with each son. when the wise son asks, what is the meaning of the rules of Pesach? We give him this very strange answer. Ein maftirin achara Pesach afi koman. You're not allowed to eat after you have the afikoman. And I think what this one is saying is details and rituals are important. Rabbi Akiva, it's not just about loving people. It's not all humanistic and humanitarian. It's also about ritual. It's also about details. To the Rasha, to Acher, what do we say? We say, because of what the Eternal did for me when I came forth from Egypt, for me and not for him, had he been there, he would not have been redeemed. What we speak to Acher about is peoplehood. We say to him, Judaism is not just or even primarily theology. Judaism is about peoplehood. It's all very well for you to have your questions. Have your questions. That's wonderful. Have your disagreements. Come to the Seder, but don't separate yourself from the people. Don't say that you're no longer a part of the Jewish people. Be part of the Jewish people and ask your questions from within the Jewish people. To the one, to the simple son, the Tam, the Verbrennt son, the crazy, the frum son who only wants to learn. What do we say? Bechozeg yad, hotzianu Adonai mimitzrayim, mi beit avadim. With a strong hand, God took us from Egypt, from the house of slavery. What we say to him is, it's not only about learning. There's also a Jewish story. There's also Jewish history. It's not enough to be learning and to being intellectual. You also need to feel part of the story, the narrative. And finally, for the son who does not know how to ask, at ptachlo, we open him up. And we said, Bavur ze asa Adoni li b'tzeiti mimitzrayim. We give him a experiential answer. We say, we were there. We were part of it. We were, and you were too. Yes, I understand that you're getting upset about different psukim and what they might mean. I understand that you're upset that not everything works. But listen, experience what it means to be part of Israel. Am Israel, personalize it. So to the wise son, we say, we speak about the holiness of details and actions. To the wicked son, we say, you can have questions but still be part of the people. To the single-minded son, we speak about the Jewish story. And to the son who does not know how to ask, we teach him to question and to personalize. Action, peoplehood, the Jewish story, questioning and personalization. These, to my mind, are the essence of a good Seder. And to my mind, they are also the essence of another Pardes, of Mechon Pardes, of the Pardes Institute, where, thank God, we have students who are Verbrennt, and students who are heretics, and students who are wise, and students who do not know how to ask. And thank God, in the vast, vast, vast majority of cases, we have a 99 or a 98% rate, not a 25% rate. People come here, they learn, and they leave enriched, healthy, good, wonderful Jews and wonderful people. Chag Sameach to us all.
Thank you, Rabbi Levin Cruz. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.